words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
As we begin this season of Lent, one place to start, I think, one good place to start is by asking ourselves, in general, what it is that we want from God. What is it that we seek from God in our lives? Because the way we answer that question, I think, will impact the way that we look at Lent as well. And there are a number of ways to answer that, and I expect that all of us, I suspect, I don't know, but I expect that all of us, in some measure and in different times, think about God in all of these ways, in terms of what it is that we seek, that we would like to get from God. Probably one of the most natural things to expect from God is to ask God, to hope, to wish that God will fix all those things that need to be fixed in our lives and in the world, that God will just make things right. At least the way we think they should be. It's a common expectation and not really necessarily a bad way to think about God, although it has been dismissively described as God the cosmic bellhop. God who is on call to meet our needs, to respond to our wants. If we think of God that way, I think it becomes natural then to see Lent as sort of a means towards that end. Lent becomes a set of rules that hopefully persuade God to do what we would like God to do. And if we follow those rules, then perhaps God will favor us, or at least not disfavor us. As common as this perspective is on God, there are some problems with it. One of them being that Jesus' message throughout the Gospels is that God's grace, God's gifts, are freely given. They are not something that we earn. They are not something that are given only in response to our actions. God's grace is given out of the abundance of God's love, not because we have followed the rules. Secondly, God as cosmic bellhop just doesn't work the way we want it to work most of the time. So that might be a clue that it isn't overall the best way to think about God. Another way to think about what we expect from God is to hope that God will shine God's love and God's grace upon us so that we may bask in that love. The sunlight of God's love, if only God will shine unrelenting light into our lives, and surely all of us yearn for that from God at one time or another. And yet if that is what we look upon God as, just the purveyor of light, then Lent becomes downright inconvenient. Who wants Lent? Who wants the clouds and the darkness and the talk of sin that come with Lent? Don't block my light, don't stand in my light, we might say to Lent. A And yet, there is darkness in the world, and it isn't Lent that brings it. It wasn't Lent this week that darkened the world. So how else might we look at God? Look at what God offers us. We might look to God as offering us a relationship. A relationship in our lives. A relationship with God. What we might seek from God is a relationship that blesses, sustains, and empowers us throughout our lives, in the midst of trials and tribulations, as well as in the times of great joy. A relationship where God accompanies us, cares for us, blesses, sustains, strengthens, and empowers us throughout the events and experiences of our lives. To build and sustain that sort of relationship with God takes work. Takes work on our side. And that's what Lent is about. Lent reminds us that we need to invest work and effort into maintaining this relationship with God. You'll hear me say it over and over again that the seasons of the church calendar are teaching tools, and they teach us one after another different aspects of the life of faith, different qualities of the journey of faith. And Lent teaches us that we have to work at it. We have to work at the life of faith. And a lot of times it's hard work. Is that work worth doing? We won't really know unless we try. The work of building and engaging a relationship with God. Relationships take work. We know that in our human lives. They take work on both sides. And yet it seems like often in our relationship with God, we expect God to do, if not all of the work, certainly most. Lent reminds us that we need to invest our effort, our work, into that relationship. What is the work that is needed? The community of faith, which is the church, the community of faith over the centuries does have a few suggestions on what shape that work might take, the work of building and maintaining a relationship with God. During the Ash Wednesday service, we all are encouraged to keep a holy Lent, a Lent focused on God. We're encouraged to do that by the work of self-examination and repentance, prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word. Those are ancient words, and the specific tasks are not nearly as important as the end result. The end result of the work of Lent is the hope that we will clear away those things that come between us and God. Clear away those things that impede or block our relationship with God, whatever they may be. Clear away, make room in our lives for this relationship to grow. And simultaneously seek out those things that connect us to God, whatever they may be for you. Seek out those things that draw you closer to God. Clear away the things that block your relationship with God and seek out those things that build your relationship with God. That is the work of Lent. Now, add one more thing, though. Historically, Lent has been quite inwardly focused on making way within ourselves to renew our relationship with God. But equally important, I think, is the outward focus of renewing our relationship with God, where we find God outside of our hearts and souls, in the world, and trying to align ourselves more clearly, more fully, more wholeheartedly, more soul-filledly, align ourselves with God's work in the world. That too is the work of Lent. To recommit ourselves to working for God's people and God's creation. To recommit ourselves to doing God's work in the world. Some of you may have the practice of a Lenten discipline that you have done in the past, or perhaps are looking for one this year. I would encourage all of you to think about some discipline that will work for you to renew your relationship with God and to renew your commitment to God's work in the world. Give up something, take on something, renew a connection, make space, work for God's purposes in the world. If you have something you've always done, and we all know what the clichés are, giving up chocolate or giving up meat. If those aren't strengthening your relationship with God, they're not the work of Lent. If they are not renewing your relationship with God, perhaps you should seek out a different discipline. Because the goal of this work of Lent is reconciliation with God, reconciliation with each other, and the renewal in our lives as partners in God's work. Sort of a reset on our priorities in life. It's work. Lent reminds us that it takes work to be in a relationship with God and to be God's people in the world. And the thing about the seasons of the year, although we cycle through them one after another, sort of one at a time, they are actually cumulative. They are all true all of the time. What the seasons teach us, all of the seasons, are always a part of our journey of faith. Which is to say, it's always Lent. It's always Lent. It always takes work. And it doesn't really ever get any easier. But just as it is always Lent, remember also that it is always Easter. And that the new life we are given by God's grace is always with us, even in Lent. It is always All Saints. We are always surrounded by fellow pilgrims to support and encourage and sustain us. It is always Epiphany, in which God's glory is being made real and new in our lives. But it's also always Lent. And it takes work, Lent teaches us, to sustain our relationship with God and to live as God's people. The fruits of that work are a relationship with God that will sustain us and bless us and empower us throughout all of the experiences of our lives.